Good morning. I'm Maureen Wilson. Today's Bible reading is taken from Psalm 116, verses 12 to 19. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord.
Thanks to Tom and Maureen for leading us in our worship. Today on this scattered Sunday, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. It's good to do this today because I'm not sure how or when we're going to be able to do it together in this building in the way that we usually do. There are a whole series of practical issues and matters that we need to resolve around that. So it's good to be together at the Lord's table today in a way that we can be. And a long time ago, when we gathered around the Lord's table and when we worshipped with the old red hymn book, we often sang Horatius Bonar's beautiful communion hymn. Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. Here would I touch and handle things unseen. Here, grasp with firmer hand the eternal grace, and all my weariness upon thee lean. It's a beautiful song. And we often added to that song some verses from the metrical version of the 116th Psalm. I'll of salvation take the cup, and on the Lord's name call. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord before his people all. And there was good reason why this psalm was sung, because it's a perfect communion text, even though it was written years before our Lord ordained the supper which we're about to share today. Especially that 13th verse, which Maureen read for us earlier in the service. Here it is in the message. I'll lift high the cup of salvation, a toast to God. I'll pray in the name of God. I'll complete what I promised God I'd do, and I'll do it together with his people. So much of what is going on when we share this meal is highlighted in the lines of that verse from the 116th Psalm. They remind us that this is a moment of worship. We raise a toast to God. This is a moment of intercession. We pray in the name of God. This is a moment of recommitment. We will do what it is that we have promised to do. This is a moment of deep community. We will do all these things with his people. All of the above is going on at the table of the Lord, but that's not all. Two other things are also going on, and this text hints at them. And it is to them that I want to turn your attention now. This text of Scripture reminds us, first of all, that this is the sacrament of helplessness. Have you ever felt helpless? You had a debt you couldn't pay. You were in a work situation you couldn't handle. You have a sick loved one you couldn't heal. Helplessness. And in reality, that is how we come to the table of the Lord. We take into our hands what the psalmist calls the cup of salvation, or as we might call it, the cup of rescue. There is something so fundamentally wrong with me that I need to be rescued. How is that so? Well, we share this meal together at our Savior's command because by doing it, we proclaim the Lord's death. That's what Christ said. The bread and the wine bring into view the horror that was Calvary all over again. And when we look at that horror, we are forced to ask a question. How could this have happened? The only Son of the living God. He came to his own home, but his own people would not receive him. How could this have happened? Who is responsible for this? And at this table, the answer to that question is, I am. I am responsible for this. Here's how Horatius Bonner put it in his hymn. Mine is the sin, but thine the righteousness. Mine is the guilt, but thine the cleansing blood. Here is my robe, my refuge, and my peace, thy blood and righteousness, O Lord my God. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I am helpless. You are helpless. And this bread and wine, this cup of salvation, is the constant reminder of that fact. And I need this reminder. So much of my own fault I cleverly conceal from myself, whilst at the same time seeing all too clearly the fault of others. And even when I do see my own fault, I imagine that it's not that bad. Until that is, I lift the cup of salvation. And then I realize that I am so broken that only the God who made me and loved me can fix me, and only through a cross. And so it is that at this table, I am forced to admit it. I am helpless. In Casualty, the television program, a number of weeks ago, there was a storyline in which a medical doctor brought his wife into the casualty. He had been treating her for a condition that he assumed she had. And when he brought his wife into the ward and she was received into the A&E unit, a young doctor came to the bedside to look at his wife. And the doctor who was the husband of the patient, tried to instruct the young doctors what needed to happen. He said, I've been treating my wife for such and such a condition. I brought her here today because what she needs is, and he gave the doctor instructions as to what the doctor should do. The young doctor examined the woman and felt that something completely different was going on. And he took a huge amount of stick from the senior doctor who had brought his wife into the ward. In fact, at one point, the senior doctor asked for someone with more experience to deal with his wife's condition, but the young doctor persisted. And in the end of the day, was proven to be correct. And towards the end of that particular episode of the program, the senior doctor came to speak to the young doctor's boss, and he said to him, "You see that young man?" He said, "That young man is really gifted at his job. Make sure he has every opportunity to progress." The reality was that this senior doctor was helpless. He could not fix what was wrong with his wife, and he needed someone else to do it for him. The hardest thing for him to do was to admit that that was so. I am helpless. You are helpless. And this is the sacrament of our helplessness. We lift the cup of salvation. We come to the place of rescue. But this is also the sacrament of participation. The rescue that the Lord offers at such great cost needs to be received. Isn't it significant that of all the things Jesus left us by which to proclaim his death, he chose to leave us a meal? We hold in our hands the cup of salvation. And what can you do with bread and wine? Well, if you put them in a glass cabinet in a holy place, the bread will mold and the wine will turn to vinegar. The only thing you can do with bread and wine is to eat and drink. And this was Jesus' command. In Matthew chapter 26, it is recorded that he said to the disciples on the evening of the Last Supper, "Take and eat," he said, "this is my body." In his communion hymn, Horatius Bonner puts it like this: "Here would I feed upon the bread of God. Here drink with thee the royal wine of heaven. Here would I lay aside each earthly load. Here taste afresh the calm of sin forgiven." What will you taste at this table? For me, communion in church has always had a familiar taste. Christine was one of two women who baked the shortbread that we share together at the Lord's table. And I could always tell if the piece I had received was hers or not, because I knew the taste. But this is the place to taste something even more consoling than my wife's baking. To taste the forgiveness of sin. To taste healing, renewal, and grace. But I have to take and eat and drink if I am to taste, for that is what a meal is for. The bread and wine will have a taste. In a moment or two, Jamie and I are going to share a tiger loaf from Tesco's and some schlur in a glass. And they have a very specific taste. But as I taste them, I also taste the rescue for my helplessness. That is the cross of Christ and the love of the Father. So take your time. Don't rush this meal. Allow that taste, initially of bread and wine, but then as you allow it to speak into your heart, the taste of a cross, the taste of a sacrifice, the taste of forgiveness of sins. Take your time. And because this is a meal, it is sustenance. I am a creature just like any other. Without food and drink, I die. In fact, one of the early signs of significant illness is when we lose our appetite. And so it should be a concern for me if I draw back from participation in this meal, if I do not have a hunger and a thirst for the salvation that God offers to me. There is something wrong with me. I have to eat. I have to receive. I have to participate. This is the sacrament of participation. Jesus said to Peter, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." The basic principle of what God has on offer is that it is only effective when it is received. Accept the offered meal. I know that's not always easy. I know that it's hard at times to admit our helplessness and to come to the one place where we can receive what we need. When Esther was studying for her university degree, she spent a year in Germany. Christine and I went out to visit her at different times. Christine went out at the beginning of Esther's stay there. I went out towards the end. And when I arrived there, she obviously had the difficulty of feeding her father, who doesn't do anything remotely like cooking from any other place other than this part of the world. And so on the first evening after I arrived, she took me out and we got on a bus and we traveled out to the suburbs of the city of Mainz where Esther was living. And I was wondering, why are you taking me here? Until very near the end of the bus line where the terminus was, I spied in the distance a KFC. Hallelujah. And my first night in Germany, we ate a KFC. And then quietly while we were eating it, she said, "Tomorrow night, Dad, we're going to go to the home of the family where Esther lived when she initially went to Mainz before she got her own place. She said, we're going to go to that family. They have invited us round for tea. Well, I immediately, of course, had food anxiety at that point in time. What do Germans eat? And what on earth would be on the table? So the following evening, we arrived at the house. Lovely people, really welcoming. They'd been so kind to Esther. It was a privilege to be able to be there, to be in their home. And then we sat down at the table, and I'm wondering what's going to come. And along to the table and set down in front of me on a plate were these strange-looking parcels of what appeared to be pastry, but I wasn't really sure what it was. And even more, I was concerned about what on earth was contained inside the pastry. So I could see Esther looking at me and encouraging me to try. What I had in my hand was phyllo pastry, and inside it was feta cheese. And when I ate it, it was truly delicious. In fact, I asked for more. Please come to the table. Please receive what the Lord has prepared for you, bread and wine, forgiveness and grace and joy. This is the sacrament of helplessness. When I am involved in it, I declare that I need to be rescued. I need to have my sin forgiven. And this is the sacrament of participation. I know that my sin can only be forgiven and my life can only be changed when I freely and fully receive what the Lord has spread for me. Let me invite you to the table of the Lord. I don't know what preparations you have made. As I've already said, we have some tiger loaf and some schlur. And Jamie and I are going to share it together around the Lord's table. And I hope that you can join us at home as we do so. Scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. Let us follow his example. Let us give thanks. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you that for our helplessness, you sent your Son to a cross. And you gave us a means by which to remember what he did, which requires us to participate, to eat and to drink together. We thank you for the deep and significant symbolism of all of this. And we pray that though we cannot be together in one building as the people of God right now, that yet in a moment or two, as we share bread and wine with one another, and as we eat and drink in your presence, we may be that one people of God from every age and every nation and every tribe and language on the face of the earth, from now until the end of time. May we be part of that one people of God. And through our willingness to express our helplessness and to receive into our hands the signs of your generosity and grace, may we be forgiven. May we be cleansed. May we be healed. May we be renewed. May we receive your grace. Take these things, ordinary things, O God, bread and wine. And as we set them aside now to this special use, give us along with them Jesus himself. And we ask these things in the name of the Lord, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.